Welcome back to the Match 6 Studio podcast. My name is Jordan Carmen, right alongside Chris Green here once again.
What's up, say everybody? Hello.
You can check us out, match6studio.co, in your browser and on Instagram. Also streaming live on twitch.tv/matchstickstudio.
Right this second.
Right now.
Every Friday for the podcast.
Every Friday until it switches to Thursday.
Or Tuesday or Wednesday. Just follow us on social. You'll know. You'll keep up with the updates.
Here's what you do. If you go to the Twitch channel, you could go to the Twitch channel at any time. Mm-hmm. And you hit that
follow.
Mm-hmm. You can get an alert when we go live. Boom. Pop right in.
There you go.
Easy as pie. It's a rainy Friday here.
You might hear some thunder in the background.
At the old fort. I'm hoping we don't lose anything from the lightning and the flickering and everything else, but we're going to power through. Today, I think we're talking about some reopening, right?
Yeah, reopening. I'm really excited.
Coronavirus reopenings?
I'm really excited to talk about this because I know you have some opinions and thoughts, and they might either be controversial or they might align with some other people.
Maybe we should say off the bat, mm-hmm. just to clear things up, okay? Yeah. A lot of this might be personal opinion.
I would agree.
So this is not legal advice. This is not health advice.
Yeah. We are not health professionals, legal professionals.
The way we operate our business, and this goes for anybody that ever works at Match 6 Studio, is we like to treat people like adults. Mm-hmm. So you have to make your own decisions, not only at work, but in life.
Yeah.
And so just keep that in mind while we're discussing some of these things that are going on. It's a little nuts.
It's wild right now.
There's a lot of confusion. Okay. I'll be honest. I don't know. Sometimes I don't know what to think or who to believe. There's so much contradictory information out there. You've got the government saying one thing. You've got scientists and health officials saying another thing. And then you've got the general population who's getting sick and tired of sitting at home and not all these entrepreneurs and small business owners that are kind of, I mean, they're at their wits' end.
They're on edge, man.
They're at the end
of
the rope.
How could you not be after sitting aside for 2 months and
not having any income?
Not having income, not knowing when it's going to end. And now you kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel, and it seems like the tunnel just keeps stretching little by little as it goes.
Yeah.
So
what is the deal?
I'm not sure. All I know is that I feel like whenever you put something in place, there are people out there that are going to try and find a workaround. They're going to try and either beat the system or do something that to where they don't have to follow those rules necessarily. I think we see that sometimes right now, at least, and with certain restaurants where they give you water right away now, so you don't have to wear your mask.
Which I love. Honestly, I don't know what side of the fence you're on because
I don't know either.
If I'm against the rules. I'm totally against the rule. Like this whole idea of just doing whatever your governor says and because he's the king of your state or whatever. I don't like it. I don't like it
at all.
If you're a business owner, there's risk involved in life.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And there's risk involved in being a business owner.
Yeah.
There's risk involved when you walk out of your front door every day.
There's risk involved when you get in the car.
But what we do know is that if you're not open for business, I mean, you know the outcome. Yeah. If you're open, you may not know the outcome. I don't know if anybody's going to come. I don't know if anybody's going to like my products or services. But you know if you're not in business or if you're closed for business, you're not making any money.
You're not having anyone come to
the door. So I don't blame anyone in this country that's a business owner that says, you know what? I'm going to open my business because I need the income for me and my family.
I'm definitely not a blind follower to rules. I don't like just being told and just said, do this. And then, okay, well, I'm not going to question or wonder why or who's telling me this. Is the person telling me this even a professional in this kind of mindset? Or are they just telling me this because they want me to just follow these general public rules? And hopefully as long as everyone follows this, we'll all stay safe. That's not going to be the case, I think, either way. Because you're going to have people that break the rules. So you got to do what's best for you. You know, If you're someone who's been going to Walmart to shop, you take a risk every time you step into Walmart, and you know that. That's you're assuming that risk by going and getting your groceries. You're assuming that risk by going to get gas, you know, that, which I was getting gas yesterday, and I thought to myself, I mean, think of how many people touch the pump every day.
Yeah. You
know? I mean, in don't doorways,
you think
too.
Don't you think it's a little silly that you're afraid of something that's, you know, a microscopic little thing that you might catch whenever you know we're still allowing, I think we talked about it a little bit earlier. We're still allowing people to smoke cigarettes.
Yeah.
We're still allowing people to buy a gallon of soda and drink it.
Go to McDonald's.
We're still allowing you to buy a double cheeseburger.
Yeah.
When you know, we all know the risks associated.
I mean, with
that, right? But we're okay with that.
You have to think too, you know, we don't force people to work out either, because that would make you healthy as well, or help keep you healthy.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of things that we don't do. Obviously, right now I think everyone is, or the thought process is, if we can just save one person, you know, that's kind of the goal behind it.
Well, let me be clear too, because I don't want to seem insensitive, but I understand that this has affected people. People have lost their lives.
Yeah.
There are family members out there. You know, there are families that have lost family members, and I don't want to seem insensitive to any of that. Obviously, in a perfect world, nobody would ever die of anything ever.
Yeah.
Ever. But at some point, we have to start doing the math on some of this and say, you know, because what's happened this week? We've started seeing headlines of food shortages, right? And so businesses are not able to open up. They're being told to stay at home. That keeps getting extended further and further and further, to where in some places in this country, they've already extended it to September.
Yeah.
You know, 3 more months. Stay at home, you have to stay at home, or what? You get arrested?
Yeah. I think that's the case in some places. I think, I don't know if it's in California or where, but I think it's close to LA, but there was a comedian that was, he was outside without a mask or something and got a ticket written and got
does
got
that not seem insane?
So, I mean, to me, yeah, I was thinking, what do you do? Like, if you don't pay that ticket, like, what are they, I guess, how all of a sudden did this, I guess it's a public health risk. Is that what they're saying? Or what
I don't know.
What
and there are business owners that are getting arrested now for opening up too early or feeling like, you know, a lot of them seems like they're like, I have to open. I need to make money. I have to do my job. Mm-hmm. And they're opening and they're getting arrested. That doesn't seem right to me. I don't think the federal government or any government has a right, especially in America, where we're supposed to be free, has a right to tell a private business that they can't be open for business or you're going to get arrested, go to jail or whatever. Hawaii is one of the worst ones.
Really?
I mean, their economy is in the toilet.
Man,
they,
I bet. I guess
they are arresting
they
people.
They probably have a huge, what is it?
Well, the tourism, obviously. But the people that are over there are people that either traveled there or got stuck there or whatever. They're quarantined to their hotel rooms. They're making it such that their hotel room keys are one-time use only. So if you leave your hotel room and the door shuts behind you, you have to go to the hotel desk to get a new key or for them to let you in. And now they know that you left your room. Wow. That's how crazy it's been.
That's insane.
People are getting arrested on their honeymoons for walking to the beach.
I was just thinking, how amazing would it be to be quarantined in Hawaii? But now, never mind.
And if you're on your honeymoon, you won't want to be around anybody else. You just want to be with your significant other, and you can't walk alone on the beach.
Do you think they're having to pay for those rooms every day that they're stuck there?
That's a great question. I know a lot of hotels have just shut down and laid off all their workers because there's nobody going,
Man,
obviously.
It's just it's a really tough field to navigate. But again, I think it all goes back to you should have the choice.
Agreed, 100%.
If you're a business, and also business owners not only have to worry about themselves, but they also have to worry about their employees during this time. Some business owners probably furloughed their employees or allowed them in a way to, you know, be benefiting off of unemployment. And now that they're reopening, it seems like employees are a little unhappy because now they're getting off that unemployment. They're, you know, being asked to come back. I don't really
know
how to... That's a whole another.
And maybe I can see it if you're a really large company. You know, fortunately for us, we're small.
Yeah.
So it's, we can, we can mitigate it by saying, or my philosophy has always been, we're all adults. I don't want you to do anything that you don't feel comfortable doing. Mm-hmm. Luckily, we work in an industry where you can work from home and still be highly productive. Yeah. I get that. So for us, maybe it's easier than for some of these really large companies. But I want to go back to the thought of the just the math equation of we're going to have, if it's true that we're going to have food shortages and businesses aren't able to reopen and earn an income, so they're unable to pay for food, at what point does the economy crashing so hard outweigh the death toll of the coronavirus?
Well, there's going to be a death toll associated with an economy crash.
Yeah, there's yeah, so absolutely. Whether it's
suicide or, you know, it gets, I don't want to get too
apocalyptic. No, I mean, it could happen, I mean, though.
That's a big thing. Homelessness
or with the food shortage, with starvation.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
people do crazy things, man.
I guess I disagree with all of the, I think if you're a business owner out there and you want to be open for business, you should be allowed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say go for it. And, you know, they can't arrest all of us. You know, it's like, yeah,
I guess so.
They can't arrest everybody. At a certain point, the general population has to make a decision, you know, as an adult. And it would be great if, and from everything I've read, these businesses that are opening up early, they're still taking precautions. Mm-hmm. They're still being smart about it.
Well, that's the main thing to me. If I know that a business is taking precautions and being careful about what they're doing, I'm more comfortable to go and visit that business. If I know that they're not taking any precautions, they might not be following any of the rules that are there. Personally, for me, I don't go visit that just because I know. And I'm not, you know, in that graphic of susceptible to corona. But even then, I might be asymptomatic and, you know, give it to my grandparents or something like that, which I don't want to happen. But I know all that's a risk. And by me going out and doing that, I also know that, you know, well, this means I need to be away from my grandparents for 14 days or.
And maybe that's a good rule going forward, because how many times have you ever been sick in your life and seen your grandparents of anything?
Not well, I mean, you know what I mean, because they raised me a lot when I was a kid, but
I think that happens. Yeah. The point is, I think that happens a lot. People might get the flu or some other contagious disease and we've never thought anything of it, but it could still hurt those people. So, you know, I think hopefully if anything happens, people are a little bit smarter about contagious diseases, but I don't think, and this is just in general, on my personal belief, I don't feel like it's the government's responsibility to save, to keep people from themselves.
Yeah.
Or to arrest stupid people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're allowed to be stupid in this country if you want to be stupid.
Unfortunately.
You know what I mean?
But yes.
I hate the thing. You ever see like a park or something where somebody falls off a cliff because they were trying to take a selfie and then the state or the local government puts up a railing along the cliff? That's kind of what I feel like is happening right now.
Mm.
It's like the government is overreaching. They're trying to save everyone from themselves and maybe being stupid because they're throwing corona parties or whatever. And the only way to do that is to put railings up and paddings and arrest people and fine them, put them in jail. And I think that's not right.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I mean, it all comes back to making your own decisions that are going to put you in the best place possible to be successful and healthy.
Let me say this too, just to be totally clear.
Uh-oh.
Because I also believe that it is the private business's right to set their own rules for their private business.
Mm-hmm.
So what I don't like are people that try to go against that. I don't like that the government tells you to wear a face mask, but I wholeheartedly 110% respect the right of a private business telling you to wear a face mask. That's just common courtesy. Mm-hmm. Like, if you want to shop at that private business, if you want to go into a store and shop there and they have rules posted, you have to wear a face mask or gloves or use this hand sanitizer before you come in or whatever. You have to get checked, your temperature checked.
Mm-hmm.
100%. you should go along with that. If you are a consumer of that business, follow those rules of the private business. So I'm against the government telling me what to do, but 100% for the private, following the rules of private. It's like you wouldn't go backwards through the drive-thru, right?
If you're
a nice person, there's clearly marked, this is the way you go through the drive-thru, so do that.
Please do not throw it in reverse.
Yeah, don't go back. Don't just pull up the opposite way. It's like, that's a private business rule. They're telling you which way to go, so if they have markings on the ground, you do this. Fine.
Well, you know 100%. Who's doing that well, though, is Fitness One here in town.
Yeah.
They're taking your temperature. They've got all their machines spread out. They're making you wear a mask in between, or they're asking you to. You don't have to wear it when you work out at your machine, but in between, they're wanting you to clean the bar, but the weights, like the dead weights that you're using, like if you're putting like barbell or...
You should do that anyway.
I agree.
All the people, listen, all you people that never wipe down your machines when you were done.
Please. But these are all things that I think, you know, it's very respectable, because going into it, they've let everyone know. It's not a surprise when you get to the door that you're going to get your temperature checked. It's not a surprise that you might have a little bit longer wait, because they're wanting to make sure that everyone coming in there is healthy, is not going to risk their business at the moment. Because if something does happen, that kind of goes on them. And even if you do sign a waiver, or you know you're assuming that risk, it's still not great PR to say, well, I was at Fitness One and this is the person that, you know, or I was at this business and this is where I got it from. It's not great for anyone.
No, it's not.
But again,
it's a risk anyway. I mean, how many, there's been, I'm not going to name any names, but there's been a local business in the past couple of years that had a major viral outbreak way before the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I mean, it's a risk. Yeah. Going anywhere with other people is a risk.
Yeah, I 100% agree.
And you have to make that decision for yourself.
Yeah, I think, and I'm someone who, and you know, this might reflect bad against me right now on the podcast, but I don't like going and wearing a mask. I will if I'm asked to, you know, whether it's to work out or in a retail shop. But I'm someone who, when I go to Walmart, but I'm also mindful of the fact of where I'm placed, who I'm around, and also, am I touching my face? Did I cough and touch this? I'm not touching anything in the store unless I plan on taking it. I'm not, these are all precautions, you know. I know that might be frowned upon, and I definitely have gotten some looks in Walmart. There was one time I went into Walmart and I felt like I was the only person not wearing a mask. And I know people have been asked to by the government, but that's just one thing I just think that's something, like, I want to make that decision for myself. If
Agreed.
I feel like that's something I need to do, or if Walmart asked me to do that, I would 100% do it. No problem.
Absolutely.
But if I have the option to right now, I'm just going to try and fight it.
I'm right there with you. I refuse to wear a face mask because the government told me to do so.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I go into a business and it's their rule that I need to wear a face mask or I can't shop there, okay, well, that's still my choice, because I can not shop there if I don't want to, or I can wear the face mask and shop there. But just because somebody who was elected, maybe by me, maybe not by me,
doesn't that kind of adds to it though, too, is how whoever that person is that's telling you, you know, you don't, first of all, you don't really know that person. Second of all, you don't know their background. They might have a PhD or they might be an MD in this field, but are they an infectious disease doctor or are they just a surgeon? Or even though, listen to your physicians.
How did they get into public
office? How did they get to that point? And, you know, obviously, I personally am not I don't trust a lot of politicians. I'm sure there are a lot of people out there that also feel the same way. Because they just tell you what you want to hear. But
yeah, I will say, thank goodness we live in Arkansas.
Yeah.
I mean,
we are very lucky.
Yeah, extremely. Not just because we've had relatively low cases and extremely low number of deaths compared to even our border states. But we were never put under stay-at-home orders. We were never put under any sort of quarantine or other rules like a lot of states. But at the same time, I have the internet. I feel bad.
Yeah.
I don't think it's right what is happening to other people in other states, that they keep extending the stay-at-home orders till September, What are those people supposed to do? No, you can't open your business.
You can't go to work. You can't do this.
You can't do this. You can't do this.
Yeah, it's really tough. You have to stay at home
or we'll arrest you.
Well, I think if you think about it, they said, I think it was, you know, on that Joe Rogan podcast you had pointed me to, but they had said like 70% of LA businesses were open and operating.
Right.
But think of
except in certain municipalities.
Yeah. But think of the total people in LA. It's probably vastly is a ton more than what Arkansas even has as a whole state. But even 30% of the 30% that's left is probably a greater amount than Arkansas has as a population.
Yeah. Well, and still 30% is not a good number. Yeah. 30% unemployment is not a good number.
No, not at all.
I mean, we haven't seen that type of unemployment since the Great Depression. I don't even think it got... Did it get that high in the recession?
I have no
10
clue.
Years ago?
Yeah.
I don't know if it was check. Even that high.
But it definitely... I'm just saying like 30% of businesses aren't open currently is what they're saying, which, yeah, I guess that would mean a portion of that would be unemployment.
If those people can't work and they have employees.
Yeah, but that's... I think that number is just so vast. You know, you got to... So even the... Even though we're completely different, granted, we're not living on top of each other like people do in New York or LA or, you know, we're spread out. It's definitely something to be taken into consideration. But it is weird, though, that I think you said it was the governor that had said, okay, we're going to slowly reopen.
It seems to be what's happening in a lot of places is that the governors are setting rules to allow things to open up in their state, but the local municipalities are saying, no, we're not going to do that. Yeah. And that is frustrating a lot of people because it's kind of like saying, well, the principal said it was okay that I did this, but my teacher or whatever is saying I can't. Mm. And it's confusing when you're trying to get information and your governor says these types of businesses can open. And so a business owner sees that and they open their business, but then all of a sudden, the sheriff's department's at their front door saying, hey, you got to close this thing down. Well, the governor said I could open. Well, but not your mayor.
Yeah.
That's creating a lot of confusion, and that's why people are going to jail.
Yeah. I've never been arrested in my life, but I could not imagine being arrested.
You need to. You should.
I could not imagine being arrested right now due to something like that. Like if I was just out running or whatever it might be, just and then all of a sudden, you're in handcuffs. I'm having to call my mom and explain to her. I need bail money.
I'll tell you, I probably shouldn't say this, but I would love to get arrested because of this. Like of all the things to get arrested for.
I think you're wishing it on you. You're going to end up on one of these memes.
Well, we live in such a great state that, you know, luckily we're very fortunate that we don't have to deal with any of this. We were never told by anyone, you have to stay at home. And we've mitigated things very well.
Yeah.
I think. So as an Arkansasier, I am extremely, extremely grateful and fortunate. But that unfortunately is not the same for all of the rest of our United States of America community.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's what it comes down to is each place has to take it their own way, but each people, I guess, not place, but each state, the people that are within that state, they're going to know what's best for their area. They're going to know, hopefully.
Hopefully.
So I think, you know, the places that are extremely popular, you know, the places that are extremely populated and, you know, where you can.
So how do you feel about this Wisconsin deal?
Of the bars opening?
Yeah.
People
are freaking out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know. I guess I know why people are freaking out because everyone's showing up at bars and partying. But, I mean, if that's what they want to do, they know the risk. The bars know the risk by being open. It's not like we're just in this world where everything can be perfect. So, just if those people want to, would I be there personally? Probably not. But
and that's your right.
That's my right, too. And those people have a right to go. So
that's my whole point. I think if you're a business owner and you want to assume the risk, go for it.
Yeah.
And if you're a patron and you want to assume the risk, go for it. It should not be dictated to you by someone else who, by the way, isn't feeling the same burden that you're feeling.
Yeah.
These people that are dictating these orders, they're not feeling the same burden that the people are feeling. Mm-hmm. So these owners of these businesses are taking a heavy toll because they're not getting income right now. Meanwhile, the people dictating They're still getting theirs.
Well, and then you think, well, they've given the PPP loan or whatever, and that just seems like the worst thing that has ever happened to a small business. I mean, or it could be, I guess. Just some of that.
There's been better news on that recently, but yeah, I mean, there's a good chance that could just turn into debt. I've talked to several other business owners, you know, some of our clients and things like that, that when it all started going down, you know, kind of in our community, just chatting, considered it, you know, what's it really mean? We're all trying to do the research, getting with our accountants and our lenders and things like that and figure out. And at the end of the day, I think almost all of them that I know of didn't end up doing it. And now we're all very grateful we did because it's turning into a kind of a nightmare. And you may, at the end of the day, just be left with government debt.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm someone, I don't like debt, period. But man, I could not imagine being as, it would be really tough. And, you know, there are places out there that probably have to have it right now and that need it. And that's what it's there for. But I could not imagine just trying to take it and then you end up with that.
What's your opinion on that whole public company deal? Because I'm conflicted.
When you say public, like the public companies taking
getting up, the PPP.
I don't like it. Personally, I think, well, you look at some of the companies that got it, I think there were a few airlines and different things like that. I'm trying to think back to the article that I read. But personally, if you're, I think it's a small business loan. I think that's what they classified it as, is a small business loan.
Mm-hmm.
And
there were rules for sure.
Yes. But they utilized loopholes to take that. And I don't like, I mean, they all gave it back. But I don't like that they were able to capitalize off that, because even if they are a public company, I mean, they're taking government money then. And
yeah, it's
I don't like government money in a public company. So
yeah, agreed. And there were some ideas around how that could work. I'm a little bit more on the fence because I think it's a little more nuanced than just saying public company.
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean, do you realize the number of public companies that exist out there? There are public companies that only have 100 employees. Mm-hmm. And the PPP was designed for anybody that had less than 500 employees. Mm-hmm. So technically, it's a small business, but it's also a public company listed on some exchange. Doesn't mean they're in the Dow Jones.
Yeah.
They're on some stock exchange somewhere.
Those penny stocks.
Maybe.
So
it's and maybe those people really did need the liquidity. Mm-hmm. Maybe they didn't have access to capital that everybody seems to think they have. Now, the whole like big brand stuff where it was like Shake Shack and all those guys. Yeah. Come on, guys.
I guess I think
you're trying to do it. Don't do that.
I think it should be a limit of the your revenue from last year too, of what you brought in. Cause, and I mean, you have to take into consider the expenses that you paid, but If you're doing $50 million in revenue, you should be putting some back. Like there should be a rainy day fund.
I definitely agree with that. So, I definitely agree with you should be smart of how you run your business.
And that was one of the things we've talked about in previous podcasts, where it doesn't make sense to me where, you know, everyone's told have an emergency fund. But when it comes down to it, these businesses that are out there that are
living in debt.
Yeah, living in debt. They don't have this rainy day fund. And then when it comes down to it and something like this happens, they can't support their people. And now you've got this huge company. But I think that's part of what makes us, well, right now it doesn't, because they kind of got bailed out. But like, take the airlines, for example. This whole airline bailout, I don't like personally. I think if they've set themselves
flying
up to
sucks now anyways.
Yeah, if they've set themselves up to fail, let them fail. Something better will come along. That's what makes capitalism great.
Agreed.
And that goes for other companies. If there's a product that you like and that company didn't take the necessary, you know, the necessary steps to protect themselves from something happening, they deserve to fail. That is 100% their own fault. And that would go the same for us. I don't want us to fail, but if we were set up to where we couldn't weather this storm, we deserve to fail. Money management is a part of business.
Yeah. I mean, Totally agree. That's one of our principles.
That was a little rant. So I love it,
man. I completely agree. That's one of our principles here. I mean, it's just, I don't want to brag about us, but when this whole thing hit, I knew we'd be okay.
Yeah.
Because we operate the right way.
Yeah. I mean, me and you talked a couple nights and it was just, you know, we were planning ahead just to make sure, but is a couple, I mean, it's those things that's, you have to have that. Like why in the, everyone's like, well, they have to take risks. But why are they $50 million in debt or $25 million in debt? Or why are you operating in a negative? You know, you can only do that for so long. So,
yeah.
And I mean, it's just kind of the nature of it. But I want to see people, and this probably sounds bad, but I want to see those businesses fail because something better will come from it. It will only improve. The businesses that come behind it that take what those businesses have done correctly, it'll just get better. That's, you have to build on top of it. You can't have
progress somewhere.
Yeah, you can't have these businesses that stay in this standpoint unless they're improving their product. But if you have someone that's stagnant that just doesn't improve, they don't deserve to be at the top anymore, especially if they don't know how to manage money.
Yeah, so. Agreed. Not a big fan of the bailouts.
Mm-mm.
I did like the ideas. There were some ideas that were coming out. Might have been cubes. It was like, listen, if you take government money, public money, taxpayer money, then you shouldn't get your millions of dollars in bonuses.
Yeah, I agree.
100% agree with that.
Mm-hmm. He's been, surprisingly, he's been a voice of reason in all this, I feel like. Which I guess it's actually not surprising because I mean, I would vote for Mark Cuban if he ran for president. But,
you should write him a letter.
Yeah, but
get him to run.
I think, you know, he actually hired secret shoppers to go around Dallas and see if they were following the kind of the standards that have been placed for them, and came to find out like 95% of the businesses weren't following the necessary standards.
Man.
And but I think that's good information. Who else is doing something like that? Is it all just word of mouth? And it would probably take the government twice as long to do something that Mark Cuban did in a day or however long it took him. So
that's a good point. That might be a good place to end this. Just on the idea or the fact that, you know, when we started this podcast talking about, at least for myself, sometimes I don't know what's real and what's not real.
Yeah.
Because I've had other conversations with people looking at maybe the CDC information,
mm-hmm.
and then people are like, well, you can't trust the CDC. Like that information isn't up to date.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, well, who has the right information? COVID, who am I supposed to trust?
COVID19info.co.
Yeah, who am I supposed to trust? Is it the New York Times that has the right information? Is it the Washington Post that has the right information, which is controlled by Bezos? Or is it supposed to be the CDC? Who is it supposed to be that, and you know that doctors even have differing opinions. It's not as if every doctor on the planet agrees with every other doctor on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot that goes into this. So real data would be great.
100%.
Actual real data, what's actually happening would be super important.
Because
now it's even coming to light that maybe even how we're reporting the deaths isn't even the correct way to do that.
Yeah.
And I guess to me, at the end of the day, is really what it all comes down to, which we've been talking about the whole podcast. Life is a risk. Business is a risk. And there are a lot of things in this life that we do every day that are super risky. And we go along with it. And we never think about it. And then something like this comes up. And we all just jump on it as this is the most important thing that's ever happened. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
Yeah.
But when it's all over, we're still going to go back to smoking our cigarettes and eating our cheeseburgers and drinking a gallon of soda.
You haven't been smoking more since this thing happened?
Yeah, absolutely. I get, you know, they have, I was going to try to think of a cool name. It's cartons of cigarettes delivered to your door.
Oh, genius. Yeah. New business idea.
It's like a pallet. I could just get a whole pallet once a week. Damn. With cigarettes.
That's legit.
You got it.
I will say though that as Matchstick, you know, you say that you talk about what we do for employees, but right now, you know, we decided not to take the risk of having people in the office right now because we can't control who they're around or know who they're around. And so these are things, you know, we're slowly, eventually our office will open up to have people in here as other offices open up around us.
Yeah.
But that's another thing. Like, that's something we control, and we don't want to take that risk for ourselves because we have people back home.
Well, we know each other, you know.
Yeah.
We're small enough to where we know each other. And more than anything, this is going to sound maybe selfish, but I want the office to be open as an outlet for people to get out of their house. Because it can get stuffy.
Oh, it was.
Especially in a creative industry, you know, mixing it up. A lot of times somebody might go to a coffee shop or whatever, get out of their own head. Like, we can't do that.
Yeah.
So the office being open for us is for us, and we're comfortable. We have plenty of room to spread out. And if you need to get away or just have a change of scenery, it's open. Come up here. But yeah, agreed. Like, and we're not equipped to screen everybody that might want to come in either.
Yeah, I don't think everyone wants to be, because we have one of those thermometers you have to stick in your mouth. I don't think everyone wants to have to do
that
after each person.
Is that where it goes? Because I have messed that up.
I won't be using that thermometer anymore.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't. You might want to run out through some hand sanitizer. But anyway, guys, thanks for listening to the Matchstick Studio podcast. You can check us out online at matchstickstudio.co in your browser and on Instagram and on twitch.tv/matchstickstudio when we're doing this. Follow us on there so you can know if you want to see all our mannerisms and our and our facial expressions. You can watch us on Twitch when we're streaming. So hopefully, you know, this is a lot of opinion stuff, but I think it was good to talk about. At the end of the day, I want people to feel like they are doing what's best for them and their family. And if they feel that it's best to open their business and they're willing to take that risk, I say go for it.
Yep. I completely agree. So, do what's best for you, and hopefully you'll keep yourself safe.
That's right. So thanks again, guys. Appreciate you. We'll see you down the road.
Take care, everybody.